Coming up on The Potter's Touch.
When you bring the tithe, you're saying, God, I have gone as far as I can go on this level. I'm ready to go to the next level. Part of your rights as a tither is to rebuke the devourer, to rebuke the bills, the debt, breaking financial curses through divine principles, getting rid of your consumer mentality and becoming an investor. Begins and ends with the number 10. 10 is the number of wholeness. It is the number of completion. Our numerical system allows us to count as high as to 10. We can go to trillions of dollars only by counting the 10. You can count millions, billions, trillions of dollars, but all you have done is multiples of 10. Simply by understanding the concept of what 10 means is going to add value to your tithing. It is a percentage, and it is saying that 10% of your income belongs to God. But why is 10 significant? Because 10 represents wholeness. 10 is symbolic of the whole. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It is symbolic of the whole. It is simply saying that all that I have is up under the auspices of God. It's simply spiritual algebra to the 10th power. How many people are going to be blessed to the 10th power? I'm going to be blessed to the 10th power. It is the power of a dime. You count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 is as high as you can ever count. That's why you go to 11. Because 11 is one on the next level. (laughs) 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21 is one on the next level. Tell somebody, say, I'm going to the next level. When you bring the tithe, you're saying, God, I have gone as far as I can go on this level. I'm ready to go to the next level. It is not just giving God his cut. That's just one small way of looking at it. The size of the cut is symbolic of the whole. It's not just saying that I owe you 10%. You're really saying, God, I owe you everything. But everything is represented by 10%. Oh, I could spend a lot of time on that. This principle is the principle of salvation. Christ was accepted into heaven on our behalf. He represented all of us. He went in for us, and we are, according to the book of Ephesians, accepted in him. So when you bring the 10% to God, you're saying all of my money is up under your control, and it's just represented by the 10. Oh, that's shouting stuff. Y'all missed it. That means, devil, don't fool with this 90, because I have brought it up under God's tutelage, God's protection, God's covering. It is all represented by the tithe. God will do it on a dime. Tell somebody, say, he'll do it for a dime. God said, I will not forget. If you will respect me, God said, I will not forget you. Can you say amen? Okay, I'm going to give you these 7 points based on what you just heard. Number one, God says, I will open up the channel between you and I. I will open up the channel between you and I. This is what God does on a dime. On a dime off of every dollar. God says, I will open up the channel between you and I. In other words, I will open the windows of heaven. Simply put, obedience opens up the heavens. 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 You could be shouting in front of closed heavens. Because it is not what you say that opens up the windows of heaven. It is what you do that opens up the windows of heaven. Obedience opens up the windows of heaven. So God says, number one, this is what I'll do for a dime. God says, I will open up the channel between me and you. When I start talking about obedience opens up the windows of heaven, consider Matthew 3:16, where Jesus was baptized. And the Bible says straightway, when he came up out of the water, God opened up the heavens. And Stephen, who would not denounce the name of Christ in Acts 7:54 through 56, the Bible said that as Stephen was being stoned and he kept his word before God, that the heavens open up. Obedience opens up the windows of heaven. That's all you got to do to open up the windows of heaven is just obey him. Obedience opens up the windows of heaven. If you ever get tired of shouting in front of closed windows, obedience will open it up. Number two, God says, I will dispense what I have withheld. I will dispense what I have withheld. In other words, I will pour you out a blessing. It is not where you bring the tithe and I say, let me see what I'm gonna do to bless him. Look at that Roland Harrison pay this tithe. Let me see what I can do to bless him. God said, no, I already got it. But when I see you do what I told you to do, I will dispense what I withheld. Are you following what I'm saying? Anybody want what God is withholding?
Yes.
God says, I will dispense what I withheld. If you want to know what he's withholding, Jeremiah 29:11 says God has something in mind for you that you might have an expected end, that God has already planned for you to win in the end. And God says, I can't dispense it until you obey me. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 12. Oh, I wish I had time to really do this. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6 through 12 says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things that God has in store for them that love it. But when you read the whole 6 through 12, it even deals with and references the cross. Had the princes of this world known what they were doing, they would have never crucified the Lord. And it begins to talk about what God does when you obey his word. Even when people try to sabotage you, God will break the curse and turn it all around and release what is withheld in your life. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? No, this is good. Yes, sir. See, when it brings the cross into the conversation, it starts on about the things that God has in store for them that love him, but it has been revealed unto us by his spirit. The reason that it brings the cross into it, do you understand the cross was an offering? Oh, they just making everything offering today. Read Hebrews 9:14. Read Hebrews 9:28. Read Hebrews 10:12. Read Hebrews 11:17. Again, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14 and verse 28. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 12, as well as Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, all tell you that the cross was an offering. That's why the grave couldn't hold it. I said the cross was an offering. That's why the grave couldn't hold it. Now, to everybody who ever gave an offering, gave a tithe, you understand what I'm saying? The grave cannot hold it. It may hold you 3 days, but it can't hold you any longer than that. It's going to have to give it back. There's going to be a resurrection breaking forth in your life. Off you. Some of you have had everything resurrected but your money. You got your peace. You got your joy. You got your salvation. You got your praise. And for you, the last step is your finances. But if you'll get this word, the same God that resurrected your life and brought you and turned you around and resurrected your mind will resurrect your money. I believe God for resurrection in your financial life in the name of the Lord. Not so you can ride around in a golden Porsche and drink Kool-Aid out of a goblet, but so that you can send your kids to college, so that you can loan and not borrow, so that you can be the head and not the tail, so that we can finally get our act together until the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ. Away with this foolishness that the only people who are blessed in our community is the pimps and the drug dealers. The devil is a lie. You're not going to tell me that Satan is better to his followers than God is to his. God said, I swear I'll bless you. I'll bless you on a dime. Lay your hands on your neighbor and say, God is holding something that he wants to release in your life this year. Let me go deeper. I got to hear it. I could shout. My toes are tingling. My gums are jerking. I could shout. Something is about to happen. I feel it in my spirit. I feel it in my soul. Something is about to happen in here. Shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Number three, God says, I will cause you to have excess. I will cause you to have excess, or you will not have room enough to receive. His name is El Shaddai, the God that is more than enough. The God that is more than enough. The very first thing he said to Adam in the garden was, be fruitful, have something left. Not seedful, fruitful. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The children of Israel had not enough in Egypt, just enough in the wilderness, but more than enough in the promised land. Most of you have already gone through your not enough, and many of you are living through your just enough. But after this, you've already had your not enough. How many's already had their not enough? And many of you are living through your just enough, just making it from paycheck to paycheck. The only thing left for you to have now I want to give you some real information. Are you all getting this? This is all up under, I will cause you to have excess. Tell somebody and say excess. The problem, can I be candid for a minute? The problem is exactly what they said. It is expendable income. It is that we are spending it. And what they're doing is trying to figure out more ways to get you to spend more of it, rather than to do what the Bible teaches you ought to do, which is invest it. Now, I'm going to be carnal for a minute. Can I be carnal for a minute? Real estate is the power of living in your investment. I took the $20 that was in this pocket and I put it in this pocket. And then I put it in this pocket over here. And I put it in this pocket right here. And I put it in this pocket right here. Now it's over there. I put it up there. You can't see it, but it's over there. Have I lost it?
No.
I just moved it. When you go out and you purchase good, excellent deals on real estate, and you get in a financial tight, stop telling yourself that you don't have the money. You do have the money. You just moved it. You didn't lose it. You moved it. You're living in it. You have some decisions to make. You can just save it. You can just spend it. Or you can live in it and let it gather worth while you are enjoying it. I never stopped investing in it. I just took it from one investment to another investment. I took it from an investment I could look at to an investment I could live in. I'm not gonna bother you. I'm sorry. Y'all don't come to church to get that kind of stuff. Let me stop. Not just houses you live in. Now, that's only, it's not just real estate. It has to be a good deal. You buy it too high and all that kind of stuff. Any deal is not, if you don't use good sense. Okay, power of living investment. Investing in match funds where companies match your funds is just biblical. It's right. Jesus speaks specifically. He said, you should have put my money to the exchangers. He said, you should have done something with what I gave you. Joint ventures, partnerships is the key to fruitfulness. Don't partner with anybody that has nothing. If the blind lead the blind, the Bible said they both fall into the ditch. You want to partner with somebody who has more in it, more skin in it than you do. Partner with winners. Give me that chair you're sitting in. Help me carry it. Come here, help me carry it. Come here, help me carry it. Every time I got more help, if I couldn't carry it by myself and I partner with you, it just makes something, come on, let's go around, something that would have strained me now becomes attainable because I partnered with people who had strength enough to carry their end. I didn't get anybody to grab this chair who couldn't hold up their end. Your blessing is in partnerships. If you can find two or three that agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be given unto you. Thank you very much. I'm gonna stop this. Quickly, number four. Number four, God says, on a dime, I will close the back door. In other words, I will stop you from losing what I've given you. In other words, I will rebuke the devourer. I'll stop you from losing what I've given you. I'll stop you from getting to the end of the year and say, I can't believe I made this much money and I don't have anything to show for it. God has authority over your losses. God has authority over your losses. Part of your rights as a tither is to rebuke the devourer, to rebuke the bills, the debt, breaking financial curses through divine principles, getting rid of your consumer mentality and becoming an investor. Number three, stop investing large sums in depreciating products, like buying new cars and renting old houses. Like having more clothes than you do life insurance and IRA accounts. I'm gonna get out of that. Number five, I will protect you from doing the right thing at the wrong time. These are your promises. God says, I will protect you from doing the right thing at the wrong time. In other words, your vine shall not cast her fruit before its time. One of the promises to God is, from God, is that I will increase your discernment in understanding what season you're in. I'll show you when to hold it, and I'll show you when to fold it. I'll show you when to release it. I'll teach you the art of waiting. I will teach you the art of waiting. I will stop you from casting your figs. You're moving too fast. I will teach you the art of waiting. A real hunter waits. He may sit up in a tree all day to shoot one deer. You're not gonna hear but one bullet, boom, boom. Dummy like me running out in the woods talking about, where the deer at? I don't see nothing. No, I'm hungry, I want something to eat, I can't find it. Some of you are stalking around, you're too noisy. You're too impatient. It's not that you don't have figs, you cast them before it's time. You're not willing to hold it long enough for it to ripen. Your blessing has to ripen in you. Your mentality has to ripen. Your family has to ripen. People around you have to be prepared to handle where you're going. The next one, I will enhance your reputation, or all nations shall call you blessed. God told Abraham, I'll make your name great. Finally, I will enhance your image and your lifestyle. In other words, I shall make you a delightsome land. I will bless you to the point that others will know you are blessed. I'll bless you till your blessings cannot be hidden. I'll bless you till people on the outside can see that you're blessed. But it starts on the inside and flows to the outside. I break the curse that's on you from starting on the outside and trying to bless in. You're going in the wrong direction. It's not about looking blessed, it's about being blessed. Once you are so blessed, after a while, it will overflow until there are outer signs of an inner blessing. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying to you? Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? Stand up on your feet. All of this, God says he will do on a dime. Now, listen, I got a job to do. I got a job, and I want you to get this. I want you to understand what I'm doing here. I didn't come to Dallas just to pastor this church and sit up here and get you ready to heaven, ready for heaven, and leave you in hell while you're waiting on heaven to come. You're pastoring the inner city, you got to deal with a lot of stuff. I'm not going to pastor a bunch of people driving Cadillacs and Mercedes and parking them in front of trailers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We got some work to do. We got some work to do. We got some work to do. The blessing of the Lord is falling. Sure, we got problems. We got crisis. We got Katrina's. We got Rita's. You got temporary crisis gone through in your life, my life, been through divorces, setback, lost your job. None of that should move you because all of that will pass. It is a temporary situation. You make your peace with God. You stop doing dumb business. You cut crazy spending. Wear the same suit, put a different blouse with it. Get the demo car, leave the new car sitting there. Let somebody just knock that first $4,000 off the top of it for you. Start moving your stuff around in your pockets. Get to the end of the year and then look at it again. Some of you moved it around, but things have changed. The kids have grown up. The house is paid for. Now you got to shift again. God said, everywhere your feet trod, put your foot on something. Get your name on something. Get your name on something else. Get your name on something else. Start getting ready for your kids to go to school while they're three. Instead of waiting until they get in high school, what are we going to do about Dexter going to school? The turn is coming. Position yourself. Right now ain't looking good, don't worry about it. Right now not important. Right now pass by tonight. Getting ready for what God is about to do.